Welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me tonight is Marty. How are we doing tonight, Marty?
Yay! No, I'm good,
yay.
Man.
It's Wednesday, man.
It is Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know. I woke up with just kind of a rattle in my chest and shit today. It's been kind of bleh, snotty and stuff, but not too bad.
You're really. Old.
So. I know. That's just it. It's too many years of I don't know what. Well, not good things, probably.
Well, there's not a good thing happening in the UFO world, I've seen the last couple of days.
It's been a mess.
Well, I seen an article on the internet, like how internet's really trustful.
Right.
It shows, remember that silver sphere that made the big news? Everybody's like, we don't know what it is, and it's all this. Well, the Department of Defense came out and said, like yesterday or the day before, and said, no, that's ours. That is our, what the hell you call it, drone.
Yeah.
And they actually have a picture of it. It's probably about 2.5 feet in diameter, silver. And I'm like, that's good, but they didn't show any of it flying.
Right.
And I wouldn't think it has to be really light because they're like, oh, this is the one that almost hit that F-16 and took it out. I'm like, if that hits that F-16, it ain't going to do jack.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know their play on this one. You'd think if it's ours, and clearly it's not classified. If you're willing to show it now, why didn't you say anything? When this first popped out, went, oh, fuck, sorry, guys. Yeah, that's ours.
Yep.
Instead, you wait, and then you're just like, oh, can we get a mock-up one? Yeah, see, here it is. This is ours.
Well, they take it apart, too, and they're saying, yeah, there's a square tube in the middle. It's the gimbal that's in the middle of it. And I'm like, this thing, like the little nuclear balls you get that spread apart, that's what it looks like the lattice of it is. I'm like, that ain't going to hurt anything. It has to be extremely late to go as fast as it is.
Yeah, you would think. Because, yeah, it's pretty, it's booking pretty fast.
Yeah.
If that is what it is.
I don't know how much, I take that with a serious grain of salt.
Right. It's good times. No.
Well, then you see in the news again, the zombie virus is back in the fucking news.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're like, it's like 2 years ago they mentioned it. It was discovered in, there's like, article goes like this. An ancient zombie virus, potentially as old as 48,000 years old, could be unleashed due to melting ice, housing unknown bacteria and microorganisms, scientists have warned, blah, blah, blah. Same pandemic stuff they're trying to push.
Right. Bring it on at this point. I just, you know.
I would be happy with zombies.
If we're going to get a zombie apocalypse, let's just do it.
No, I'd be happy with something different. Come on.
All right. We've had a couple of decades of prepping us with pop culture for zombie stuff. So, I mean, you might as well put it to use.
True. Jesus. No. But we're kind of keeping this short tonight because hanging in the wings is we got a guest tonight.
Yeah.
We actually have Will from WTCW Paranormal Group. How are we doing tonight, Will?
I'm doing just wonderful. How about yourselves?
We're doing very well. So we got hold of each other on Instagram. We had communications, but we go into any of these interviews. We don't ask a lot of questions. We let you explain yourself to us. So why don't you tell us how you got started in this paranormal business? Not business. Well, I don't know if it's a business or not, but and just tell us how you got into it and what you do.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah. So the way I got into being a paranormal investigator was when I was from the ages of 7 through 11 years old, I lived in a house and experienced a lot of very unusual things. I would wake up under my bed or being pulled out of my bed, doors slamming, voices, the typical, you know, haunted house stuff.
That old story, yeah.
Yeah. And as I got older, I adopted the typical mindset that most people have that ghosts aren't real, and I was probably just being weird. And then when I turned around 15, I started questioning that belief, you know, if what I saw was really true. So I decided to found the WTCW Paranormal Group and go and investigate supposedly haunted locations myself to see if ghosts are real. And that's what I've been doing since October of 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, I've watched a few of your YouTube. Actually, most of them I watched. I like that they're a little short and condensed. They're easy bite size. I love your YouTube videos. At the end, we'll talk about that and we'll promote you on that. But I like it.
I appreciate that.
I have to ask this question. I know you're fairly young. How old? If you don't want to say me, are you 18, 19?
A little lower. I'm 17 years old.
That's even better yet. because I like seeing kids nowadays. Well, sorry, young adults. I'm old.
No, right, you're right. Good.
I have kids have kids older than you. But it's nice to see, like, it's fresh blood going into this whole ghost hunting thing.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you live in Virginia or Maryland or Massachusetts?
I live in Virginia, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, which is on the far east coast. It consists of 7 cities, and I investigate all across those cities, house calls and other unusual occurrences.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I used to be part of a ghost group many years ago.
Yeah.
And that was a pain in the butt. I'm sorry, because I know you mentioned a couple of videos. I watched a video about the raw truth about being a ghost hunter just recently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get the whole traveling thing. I was in my 30s and I had to do it. I'm like, that whole traveling thing can be very taxful.
Yeah, it's very irritating. And since ghost hunting, I like to consider it a business because I try and run my group as professionally as possible. We have an official business profile on Google and LLC and everything like that.
Damn.
But it's people don't really consider it a business. So when someone calls me in for a house call and I have to tell all 5 or 6 of my team members, hey, on this day and time, we need to go to this address for an investigation. And then oftentimes, like a day before, they'll cancel and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I reserved dinner for me and my wife. And I'm like, well, why did you call me in then? Right.
But that, isn't that kind of like the crux of the whole ghost hunting thing? You have people, they're like, yeah, I know no one can ever charge. I know you don't charge for any of your services. But it's just like,
no.
You have, let's say you have somebody that's on a house, they call you, then they're like, I think what the problem is, they actually think about what they actually did to cure the problem. And it's just like, am I crazy? And it's like, you're not crazy if stuff is happening in your house.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to legitimize. I don't tend to use the word ghost hunting. I prefer to use the, I know ghost hunting is a more popular term. I like to say I'm a paranormal investigator,
right,
or a researcher, because I like to approach things with more scientific, train of thought.
So what do the different team members of your team do? Like, can you explain that for us a little bit?
Yeah, so we have 5 team members. All of them serve a pretty important role. So I am obviously the founder and the first. I am the case manager, meaning for the most part, I'm the one handling house calls and other places inviting us in, as well as representing the group on podcasts and other promotional things. As well as, I'm the lead investigator as well. And then we have Luray, which is the team psychic, who is amazing. I personally am not the type of person to believe in psychic mediums. At least I wasn't. And then Luray wanted to join the team. So I said, give me a reading. And she did. And it was life-changing, honestly. It was the really? Most accurate description of my life I've had anyone tell me.
Wow.
It's like down to the detail. She told me, she was like, oh, yeah, I think the reason you're in this business is because when you were younger, you like experienced a haunting and it built like a curiosity in you that didn't manifest until now, which at that point I had never mentioned that to anybody.
Oh.
Yeah, Lorraine's great. Yeah, she's amazing. And then we have Tate, who is our cameraman. He operates the cameras while we investigate, which I used to do that myself, but eventually it's just too time consuming and annoying.
It gets to be a lot.
Yeah. And then we have Emma, who is one of our newer investigators, and William, who is another founding member of the group. The other William. We have 2.
Well, this is really cool because we're actually, now when you get big and huge, William, you need to make sure you remember the little guys who gave you your first interview. So, because I'm like, I like your group just because they're so young and they're not jaded like all these other groups out there that some seem to be, some aren't. But I like that you got multiple members and you're going about this with a very open mind.
Right. So, yeah, I try and keep an open mind. These are abnormal occurrences, so I kind of have to, suspend my disbelief in every sense of the phrase.
Well, why don't you tell us some details on some of the investigations you've been on? Like, what was the scariest one you've been on?
Sure, yeah. So quite easily the scariest investigation I've ever been on was one of my first to the Ferry Plantation House, which is heavily regarded as the most haunted house in all of Virginia. You can rent a night as a paranormal investigator. And for my 16th birthday, that is what I decided to do.
Rock on, so, man.
Hell yeah.
So I rent a night. It's documented to have 11 spirits haunting the home. The house was originally built in the early 1700s. Easily the oldest building I've ever been in. And I went with the original four founding members. WTCW is the first initial of the first four members of the group. William, Tate, Chris, William. And I went in with the four of us, and we had a lot of it was kind of a baptism by fire into being a paranormal investigator.
Them are usually it was the best one of our ones.
Yeah, it was one of our first ever investigations, and we went in and we had a lot of stuff happen. Just footsteps coming towards me in the living room. We made connection with the spirit using this EVP catching device, saying that it was from hell and watching us. There's slave quarters in the building because it was a plantation house. And I was sitting there alone with dowsing rods. And I actually caught on camera in my Ferry Plantation House video, creaking coming up the stairs. To then there was banging on the walls within the room I was in. And at that point in time, I was the only investigator left at the building because Tate and Chris became heavily affected throughout the midway point of our investigation. They had severe migraine and growing very ill. Yeah. And that kind of whatever the entity was in that house drove them away. And it ended up with me being the only investigator.
Do you have plans on going back? It's the Ferry Plantation.
Yep, the Ferry Plantation House. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would like to go back. It's after I investigated there, it's actually grown into a very popular spot for investigators. I'm not claiming I put it on the map, obviously, but
this is what I did, but, man. No. I think it's great. You guys are like, man, we really want to get into this. You know what? Let's go to the scariest place we can think of, and let's start there and see what happens. Ah, that's wild, though. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. I couldn't even tell you. I don't even remember what I did for my 16th birthday. It wasn't anything that cool. I know that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we caught most of the major events of the investigation on camera and uploaded it to the channel. In one instance, each room was around 70, low 70s degrees. And then I went to the slaves' quarter and recorded the temperature on an engraving on the wall, to which I got 66.6 degrees. And I kind of chuckled to myself because it's like, haha, 666 scary. And then my flashlight starts flickering, which is not anything I've ever ran into. And it's not one of those mag lights that you see ghost hunters use that can flick on and off. Like, it was just a regular old push to the button, the light comes on, flashlight.
Yep.
And it started, it broke and it's never worked again. I still have it. Doesn't matter what batteries I put in it, it's just completely ruined.
Wow. That's pretty eerie, actually. That's kind of cool as hell.
Yeah, I'm done. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. That's freaking awesome. Yeah, no, I actually started kind of checking out some of your videos here, like, the last couple days. And, yeah, it's been really fun, dude. It's like, I got to go through all these now. Dang it. What am I going to do with my time? Oh, here we go. Here's another one.
Yeah.
No, really, well, I really impressed. It. Yeah, no, really, really good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm I am in control of videos. I do all the editing and cutting and stuff. And I represent the social medias. I do the majority of the stuff for the group. I'm definitely the most passionate, but I want all of my other investigators to succeed with me.
Right.
But the reason I make my videos of my investigations so short. Now, mind you, our investigations tend to last 7-8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
A very, very long time. And I've noticed that a lot of investigators on YouTube kind of do this thing where instead of just uploading the entertaining or compelling piece of evidence, they will upload like an hour and a half of footage.
Yeah.
That is just so boring.
Yeah. And you're sitting through as they're talking about, well, do we have that wired? Yeah, we got that wired. Okay. It's like people aren't hopping on here for that. They want to see what you found, you know, something.
Just get straight to the point. Now, that's what I like about your videos. It's Yep. Here we go. This is what I found. Perfect.
I also like about
your videos too, Will, is that you're very candid, because there's this one video with you and must be two other members. You're messing around with the swings and that. I find that very appealing.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That is very appealing because that's behind the scenes stuff that most people won't show of people messing around.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to make it apparent, like, I'm an actual person too. I tend to watch. I take a lot of inspiration from other investigators and try and just see what's happening in the space that I'm in. And I noticed that, you know, particularly I'll use like Sam and Colby, for example, one of the biggest paranormal YouTubers. They tend to upload at least pretty boring hour and a half long videos that they act like almost like they're not real human beings. Like they're just super hyper constantly freaking out constantly, like being loud. And I'm just like, this is not how they act in real life. I just try and put, you know, the most entertaining evidence and just the most entertaining bits, whether it's me being funny or just, you know, something stupid like that. I think it's fun to include stuff like that.
Yeah, well, especially like with those guys, and nothing against them, because I've seen a lot of their stuff. My daughter's watched their stuff forever now. But yeah, you go back to some like their early stuff and to the newer stuff, it's definitely more of a production now. You know what I mean? And it's not that they're bad, but there is definitely a lot more playing up than what they're used to be in the early ones.
I'm not trying to throw shade at them. You know, I told you, I take a lot of inspiration from guys like that. I just think that's one issue that I've noticed with them that I try to eliminate for the most part.
Right. Yeah. Now, it's good to see what works with other people that are doing things and then spin your own. You know, you don't want to be just another carbon copy of somebody. Find the things that work from different pieces and go, okay, this is our thing. This is what we're doing. This is how we're utilizing this and this. And so far, I dig them. I really love them.
I do.
It's fantastic.
So, have you? I have a question for you. I thought you mentioned it. I'm trying to remember all the videos that I've watched. Have you been to Waverly?
Waverly. I've been to the town of Waverly in Virginia, not Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Okay. That is in a different state. But yeah, I had a feeling some people would make that mismatch, like the way. I put it as the Waverly House investigation just because I didn't want to I just wanted to use the city name rather than being like, this is the address of their house. But no, I have not. I plan to at some point. I'm in talks with the people that are running that whole operation.
Nice.
So I have to ask you, I see another one you did where it's like the Skinwalker video you did. So that must be, you guys, I like the part where you guys gave me so much of, what's it, Stand By Me moment when you and your friends are walking down the railroad tracks.
Oh, like, nice. Yeah, see, like, I didn't watch that one yet. I pulled that up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch that later.
So
it looks really good.
What is your opinion? Like, we're going to ask you a bunch of random questions like I warned you yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do. A lot of times it is random oddball questions.
What is your, have you had anybody report to your group like Skinwalker sightings or Bigfoot sightings or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, so the cryptid stuff, the only ever reports I've gotten are from Skinwalkers, which is why we decided to investigate that railroad, because I was myself getting reports of Skinwalkers. And that video, I'm not going to say it's my scariest investigation because I don't think it tops the Fairy Plantation House, but I will say it has a very interesting story that took place after I left. And I'm just going to drop this. I'm going to leak this here I'm on the podcast. Exclusive leak. There will be a part two coming very soon.
Oh, within, nice.
Less than 2 months. Instead of doing the couple hour stay, I will be camping out for the night there.
So can you tell us what happened that make you want to go back there to camp?
So, yeah, I can. So what happened was this. I went on an investigation there, and I'm not going to leak its exact location. But I went there, and shortly, like not even 3 weeks after I uploaded the video, a news article started getting released that a boy, a 16-year-old boy my age, was found. Did you see the part of the video where we were fishing?
No, I did not. I'm sorry. I was like half asleep. I had a long day.
Oh, no.
I plan on going back to watch
it. No, you're all good. But by the derail part of the road, there's a bridge over water. And not even 3 weeks after we went to that location, a 16-year-old boy was found washed up, drowned dead in that exact location.
Ooh.
And everyone was sending me the articles. My parents were sending it to me. My other investigator was like, oh, my God. And I was like, man, that is crazy. And that they don't know how he died. They don't know if he got pushed. They just know he drowned. And he washed up right in that exact spot that we caught an eel.
Wow.
I don't know which is weird, catching an eel in a river or a dead body showing up where you were just fishing.
I caught it on camera. We caught an eel. We just,
wow.
We caught an eel, and then at that exact same spot was where they found body washed up on those rocks, and they uploaded an article.
So have they found out what happened to the kid, the boy?
They do not know why he was there. He was just drowned. They presume that he jumped off the bridge and just couldn't swim back out, but they found his body washed up, drowned. And after the interview, I can actually send the article to you if you like.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Wow, yeah.
Just send it to me.
100% candid. It really did happen. I can send you the article. Someone did wash up
if that's not a sign to tell you to keep doing what you're doing, I don't know what is. It's kind of a dark sign. It's a sign like, hey, you just missed it by this much.
It's just kind of odd. You know, you have reports in this same area and all this, and then, you know, mysterious body shows up. You're just like, why are all these things connected? Are they connected? Yeah. I better go spend the night to find out. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And to speak a little bit further on that investigation, two things. One, man, that video, it came out decently, but there was an error uploading it, and it got quality locked at 360p, which made me so mad.
Really?
I recorded in 4K, and then I uploaded it, and it rendered at 360p, and I was like, oh my God.
It's just a minor bit of a drop there in quality, but oh my God.
A little bit.
I'm glad you guys understand that techno language.
That's insane. Yeah, that would be really frustrating. They'd be like, oh, this is going to be so pretty. Look how good. Oh.
Yeah, oh, I was so mad. But part two will come out nice and pretty, though. I'll make sure of it. But, I don't think the investigation there was my scariest, but it was definitely my most abnormal. There were a couple instances I did not catch on camera. Obviously, I filmed. The EMF reader was sitting at a 3, which was unusual, especially outdoors.
Yeah.
As well as we found animal bones just sitting around, skulls, rib cages, just bones everywhere, which isn't too weird since we were near the forest, but it's very strange. We were walking on the railroad, and we found a I don't think I caught this on camera, but we found a flipped over turtle on its back, and me and the other William were like, this is weird. So we pick up the turtle, try to flip it back over to let it, you know, walk off. And we flip it, and a bunch of brown liquid falls out of it, and maggots, and the whole thing comes apart.
Oh, no.
And there were, like, maggots and this brown fluid inside of it. And there wasn't even a turtle anymore. There was no skeleton or anything. The bottom just fell off when we flipped it, and it was just liquid, which was disturbing. I don't know if how the decomposition – I don't know if that's how the decomposition process for a turtle is, but that was very alarming.
Yeah, a little unnerving. Just like, oh, here you are trying to save this great turtle. You're like, oh, we'll get you back, little buddy. Bloosh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not solid turtle at all. Eesh.
Also, we caught.
Gross.
Yeah, we also caught on camera those red eyes coming from the bushes, which is like almost a cartoonish display of paranormal activity. We never did find out what source that light was emanating from.
Right.
And if you saw on camera, we recorded, we saw the red light flash multiple times. And then, you know, we went on the bridge to see what it was. And I could not find anything in the brush. And it's almost like, I was like, man, I really hope people don't think this is fake. Because this is like almost like a Scooby-Doo, like, oh, red eyes in the dark, you know?
Right, right.
But we really did see it. That's, I mean, you could hear our reaction. We were like, shh, shh, everyone be quiet. Like, we were freaking out a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. That's wild. But yeah, there is always that worry. It's like, oh man, are they gonna think this is staged? Because it almost seems too stereotypical, right, that this is what we would see. But here we are actually, right, seeing it, you know. That's wild.
Yeah, that's what I was nervous of. That's what I was nervous of. I was like, man, this is just such like a fake display of paranormal activity.
Right.
Literally, it's, like,
it's almost like it's seems too cliched that it's like, of course they saw us.
Right.
You know, but it's like, but we did.
Yeah.
That's wild as hell, man. That is awesome. It's crazy. Yeah, I can't wait to sit down and get through all your videos. Because, like I said, the few I've seen I've really, really liked. There's a good feel to them. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what pulls me into a show. If I like what I'm hearing, like the voice, I like the presentation, and just kind of, you just roll along with it. Oh, shit, it's over already. Oh, well, all right, what's next? And your show does kind of have that quality where it just kind of pulls you right in on it, and I love it.
Very organic.
Yeah, I love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
As you can tell, me and Marty spend a lot of time on our phones watching YouTube videos.
Right, I have multiple things going on, playing games, watching videos while I'm doing it.
So I heard mentioned that you said your parents and that were sending the interviews and that. How do your parents, do they support you in this or?
Like, initially, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So initially they were a bit skeptical of it, right? Because first of all, they were concerned that, you know, starting at 15 years old was planning on going out to these sketchy locations and you know, potentially haunted locations. My mom is very religious, and my dad, actually, which was ironic, which I found out a couple years ago, also used to be in a paranormal group with his friend Riz.
Really?
Named 757 Ghost Hunters. Yeah, a long time ago. Which, you know, they didn't get really as big as WTCW did, but they started kind of they saw the passion and how much I cared about doing this stuff and how seriously I was taking it with, you know, interviews and getting, you know, invited to do panels at conventions and my YouTube videos and, you know, starting my business. And eventually they realized that it's just what I love to do. And they started to, kind of let me take the wheel a little bit.
Right. Kind of get behind you on it. It's like, okay, this isn't, I mean, as a parent, like, it's one of those where it's like, okay, worst case scenario, they get bored with this in 6 months and we move on to something else.
Marty, that's not the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is your kid comes home and has a demon attached to him.
Well, yeah, that
and
would so, be
like,
bad,
the kid starts spitting out pea green soup like The Exorcist. That's right. The worst case scenario. Let's be honest here.
I mean, and like I said, best case scenario here, they've kind of been like, okay, let's, you're clearly taking this seriously, you're really into this, and it's awesome that you have parents that are going to be like, okay, we're going to be behind you on this, because it does make it easier on you as a creator if you aren't also then fighting that kind of negativity, especially at your age, you know what I mean, with parents then fighting you on it. It's nice to have somebody behind you with it. It's like, okay, yeah, just keep on doing what you're doing. We got you, we're here for you, you know, whatever you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
So would you say your dad had influence with you starting this?
Subconsciously? No, it was really all me. It was, I stumbled across the idea of starting my group when I was 15 because of my own experiences, And it wasn't until after I was a couple months deep into doing this that he revealed the great secret that he and his friend Riz wanted to start a paranormal group of their own, you know, years and years before I was born.
Wow. Oh, that's wild, man. It's kind of crazy to me. It's like, oh, it couldn't have been that long ago. But when you start looking at, man, like, paranormal stuff really, really blew up. It was late 90s.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I guess it has been going pretty strong now for quite a few years at this point. Like, you know, in the mainstream for over 20 years now. Like, before, we've talked on our show with different stuff where when we were growing up, it was out there, but it was in little tiny niche programs where it'd be like an hour program a week. And that was the only place you were going to find stories of ghosts and time travel and weird stuff. Where now it's like there are whole channels on Roku. That's all they show is paranormal shows for 24 hours a day. And it's pretty wild how far it's come as far as being accepted into mainstream. And it's nice to see for those of us that have been pushing this kind of thing for many years, since even before we were your age now, man. Like, when we were in high school, it was the same kind of thing. Just, it was a whole lot less acceptance from other people of like, oh, you're into that weird stuff. Oh, okay. You're one of those guys. We're not going to make out now, are we? Nope. I'll see you later. Okay. Well, that wasn't worth a shot. But yeah, no, it's cool as hell to see. And like I said, you do have a lot of these guys in the last 10 years, especially with like YouTube and some of that, that really did start kind of pioneering some of the modern era of paranormal hunting, whether it be cryptids, ghosts. It's cool to see another group kind of coming up behind them and going, hey, we're going to take it this way. And I love, like I said, I love the fact you guys do it in a serious fashion. It isn't just like, we're here to be entertaining and crazy. If what happens is entertaining and crazy, that's great, but we're going into this with a more scientific view. I said, I have the same feeling you did with when it comes to the psychic aspect of things. Now, I do believe there are some out there that are really good. There are a lot of them that are complete crap. It's when you do find somebody that actually has that connection, you go, okay, well, I have to change my mind on these things. Cause there have been sometimes I've been in that same boat you were, where it's just like, I don't know about that. That just seems a little out there. But
yeah, Lorraine is incredible.
It's a good tool to use. You know, it's they have a something there that can help see something you're not seeing. And it's cool to be able to find one that is good and you can utilize and trust. I love it.
Yeah. Lorray is great. She's, you know, like I said, I really was never the type of person to believe in psychics. I really thought they were just throwing out very basic general information about an individual, and people would be like, whoa, that describes just like me. I do have to eat food every day.
Right, right. What do you know? I do breathe when I wake up. That's amazing. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. But then I met Lorray, and, you know, I wanted a legit psychic for my team. And like I said, she did that reading on me, which was hyper detailed. And even now, I mean, her abilities are just unbelievable to me. Like, I'll use an example of one of my most recent house calls was to a location of which this daughter and her boyfriend killed her mom in the bathroom of a location. And I just so happened to meet the girl that lives there at a Halloween party. So she gives me her contact information, all of that. And I end up going to the house a couple weeks later. Me, Lorray, and the other William go in. And the other William had never seen Lorray's abilities before. This was their first time meeting. So I tell Lorray, I'm like, hey, you know, William's never seen you demonstrate your abilities. You know, how about this? And so the homeowner had already told me which room was the murder room. It was a bathroom at the end of a hallway next to two bedrooms. And I tell her, can you identify the murder room? Immediately, she like starts darting bullets towards that hallway.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's like no information online that would lead you to suspect that it was the bathroom. Right. And even if there somehow was, there was three bathrooms in the house.
Oh,
So, you know, she starts heading towards that specific bathroom, and then, you know, the mom was murdered via strangulation, and then they essentially drowned her to finish her off in the bathtub.
Yikes.
So she's in the hallway, and she's like, I'm sensing like trouble breathing, like maybe breathing problems. And I kind of just look at the other William like, yeah, you see that? and then she's walking around and just kind of telling the information, which is true. She walks into the bedroom that used to be the mom's. She's like, I'm sensing a motherly energy. I look at William. She goes to the daughter's bedroom. She's like, I'm sensing, like, I don't know, did they have a daughter? I was like, yeah, see? And then she goes into the bathroom and is like, I think this is the murder room. To oh, which geez. She was correct. And, you know, she's great.
Wow. Ah, that's cool to see, though.
Yeah. So she's about as legit as it gets.
So I asked a listener of ours if she had questions. I asked a couple people about general questions they would ask somebody who has a paranormal group. Ready?
Yep.
Answer them to the best of your abilities. There's no right or wrong answer. One of the questions is, how do you protect yourself from anything wanting to attach or use you?
So I personally like to use kind of like a Christian type protection system. I use holy water, holy oils, and me and my team do St. Michael the Archangel's prayer, which is essentially, you know, St. Michael the Archangel defend us in battle. And then before and afterwards, we'll use sage. I honestly don't think protection is as necessary as some people stress it to be, because I've talked to a lot of investigators who have been doing this as long as I have, and some of them who have been doing it for even shorter. And all of them claim that they've had something attached to them, or they'll go home after an investigation and, you know, something will be there or whatever. And I'm like, man, I've never run into this problem. I've like never, not once, my 2 years, the many, many investigations I've been on, ever even had an inkling of belief that something was attached to me. And that was even before this protection routine I started was only a year and a half ago. The first like 6-7 months of investigating, I was just going in like raw. Oh, and yeah. I was fine.
Just run on in like, we're going to find stuff, man. We're going to find stuff.
Yeah. I think it's more after doing a lot of extensive studying on demonology and theology to kind of know what I'm talking about when speaking with people of different belief systems than myself. I think, typically speaking, if we were to assume that demons were real, that more often than not, they will attach to you, not dependent on whether or not you're protected, but dependent on how you behave during the investigation. If you seem to be afraid or nervous, then they can be like, I can feed off of this guy, as opposed to going in calm, cool, collected.
Right. I would agree with that. I actually do. I think there are things, whether you want to call them demons, whatever they end up being, that's a whole different show. But yeah, I think they do sense some of those things and will be drawn to them. I do believe that.
Yeah.
So here's another, sorry, go ahead. This is your show. Oh, no, take it away.
No, all good.
Another question I have is here. What is your goal or purpose for investigating the paranormal?
My goal and purpose is, now, as thankful as I am to Ed and Lorraine Warren and Zach Bagans, his team over at Ghost Adventures, for kind of putting ghost hunting on the map. If you look a little bit deeper into their careers and the way they were as people, you'll tend to see a lot of things that very discredit their discoveries.
Yeah.
Whether Ghost Adventures being caught faking stuff, I mean, however many times, quadrillion times. And if you look really far to Ed and Lorraine Warren, which are like the original two, man, these guys like just were off their rocker. Yeah. Like they talked about the craziest stuff. If you look up Seekers of the Supernatural St. Patrick's Day interview, you'll see Ed and Lorraine Warren were on a television special with Tony Spera.
Yep.
And they go on a 30-minute rant about how Ed found a leprechaun's hat.
Yes.
And he pulls down the leprechaun's hat and he's like, look, guys, And it's like plastic and just the fakest thing you'll see in your entire life.
And now, here's the thing. I respect Ed and Lorraine for their early work, and they did bring a lot of attention to the mainstream with the stuff. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There is a whole lot of, for lack of a better word, fuckery behind the scenes of stuff they did. There, a lot of their big publicized stuff, they don't do all the crazy. And a lot of that has been kind of pushed to the background now in the honorarium of you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren that there exists now. But yeah, they had a lot of stuff where they were way off base on stuff, you know, and you just kind of sugarcoat over it. And they're just like, oh, no, but remember, here's this house. Remember they found this house?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that, man. I do.
So my objective is to, now I'm a very ambitious person because I think that's necessary to really leave your mark after you're long gone. So my objective is to try and legitimize the paranormal as not just a niche interest or form of entertainment, but as a legitimate study of science.
I can respect that.
Yep.
I absolutely can.
But I need to ask you this question now.
Uh-oh.
Don't go uh-oh with me. Yeah, I haven't asked the question. Have you ever heard of the Fairfax Bunny Man?
Yes, I have. So the Bunny Man, I'm assuming you guys may already know. I found out that this was a thing recently. I'm not as into the cryptid stuff as some people are. I'm more focused on, you know, ghosts, demons, etc. But so it's the Virginia's resident cryptid, right? And there's
I looked it up on the internet.
I guess he's a man that's a bunny, you know, which I'm sure you could have inferred by the name. And he has a bridge in the city of Fairfax. There's a bridge in the forest. It's all white, super tall. They call it the Bunny Man Bridge. And I did consider going there at one point, but I mean, it's just like, I feel like the Bunny Man is such like a niche cryptid that no one, if I were to make a video about that, no one's gonna know what I'm talking about.
I don't know
you until you make your video.
See, I don't know if you should. Well, I don't know if you should go back to bridges because I just got to watch in your last video with the bridge. Maybe bridges aren't your thing. Yeah. I don't think you had dead bodies watch up on one bridge. You get kicked out of the other one by the cops. So I don't think bridges are your thing.
I don't think so either, man.
The arch nemesis, the paranormal bridge. That's the one we need to stay away from.
Yeah, demons can hold me back. It's bridges.
Right. Take me to the crazy plantation. There's no bridge here. We're good.
So that's wild. Have you ever thought, no, I'm going to throw these. Yeah, I looked up on the website, Virginia's Haunted House, Haunted Places. Have you ever thought about investigating the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond?
Yeah, I've been up and down Richmond. The problem with the Hollywood Cemetery is this. Now, there are a lot of reports of it being haunted, which I believe that some of them may or may not be true. The problem with it is this, as it is clearly a very famous cemetery because a bunch of famous people are buried there.
Right.
If you are caught at that public property after hours, as is Virginia state law, you will be charged with trespassing. It is public property, but if you're there after hours during the nighttime, then you're done. Right. Really? You're going to get caught, especially at a location that popular. Yes. When every instance of which I've investigated a cemetery, I have to get a hold of the person that owns that piece of property.
Oh,
in most instances, or at least the most easy instances, the people that own the cemeteries are churches. You call them, get their permission. They'll give the nod to the police that if they see shady people with flashlights on the graveyard, no one's getting grave robbed. It's just ghost hunters.
Right. Just some investigators. Yeah, but, just let them be.
Yeah, yeah. But I've been very interested in the Hollywood Cemetery. Yeah, but I don't think it would ever be a location I would be allowed to investigate legally.
Okay. What about St. Albans Sanatorium?
I'm in talks with the people that are owning the property of St. Albans Sanatorium. The problem is that since it's so old and practically abandoned at this point, it's not anything like Waverly Hills Sanatorium, where it's like at least slightly upkept where people can go in. St. Albans is just like falling apart. It's not a very popular tourist location. It really isn't.
But yeah, structurally, it at that point, it's just kind of dangerous to be there.
You have these things called asbestos.
Yeah.
Asbestos,
collapsing floors, you know, dangerous little things like that.
What about Bacon? This is a weird ass name. Bacon's Castle.
Bacon's Castle. Bacon. I have been to it's Bacon's Castle. Like the food Castle.
You eat bacon, right? Is it bacon or Macon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's bacon. So I have been to Bacon's Castle. I have. Yeah. See, the problem with Bacon's Castle is this. Their main selling point is that they are haunted, right? Oh. And the reason – so here's where that kind of sets off a couple red flags. You can rent – you can go to Bacon's Castle during, like, the Halloween months and go in and have a tour and do this, like, haunt thing. And that's what I did. I went there, Bacon's Castle. I forgot when. It was a road trip with me and my friends. But we went, and this is when I immediately knew that although it is, you know – claim to be haunted by the people that own it, that's their selling point. And when I went in for the tour, a guy that was like kind of wearing like a vampirish outfit, you know, like a vampirish nice no just wait it gets worse oh, he's no. wearing like a so he's wearing like a tuxedo, and he's like oh, welcome to Bacon's Castle, I'll be back in just a moment to start your tour, right? This guy walks off to some back room, and then a different guy dressed in modern, normal person clothes is like, all right, are you guys ready to start your tour? Sorry, I was in the bathroom. And then we were like, what about the other tour guide? And they're like, what? There was another tour guide?
Oh, implying no.
Implying
it was a ghost.
What
other ghost. Tour guide? Yeah.
Implying it was a ghost. So that's when I immediately knew. I was like, yeah, this place is haunted.
Yeah. If it is, it's so minor that they've now turned it into Disney World of haunted castles. And yeah, it's and that's the downside. At that point, anything you run into that night is like, is it planted? You know what I mean? If there's a weird noise here, is it designed to have a weird noise here? It just kind of ruins the whole thing. That's disappointing.
Right, yeah.
So I mean, it's good for them for making money at it, I guess, but geez, man.
So if you had limited access to travel, limited access to money, what would be your dream location to investigate your group?
Man, honestly, to be 100% honest, it is the Ammons family's house in Gary, Indiana. If you've ever seen Demon House from Zach Bagans, I would absolutely love to investigate there. Either there or Amityville.
Didn't he bulldoze that place down?
Yeah, he did. This is a dream scenario.
Oh, yeah, okay. we're talking dream scenario. Okay, well, man.
I didn't.
Unlimited money, unlimited time.
Sorry, I forgot my own parameters of the question. My fault. Don't beat me.
It's all right. We'll let it slide this time. And that's what sucks with that one too, is it's like you've bulldozed it so no one else can now go in and investigate any of these claims, and that kind of just irritated me. It's like I get it, you're destroying it because it's so evil, you don't want anyone tortured in here again, but you've also now destroyed any evidence anyone else could come in and get.
Following the parameters of the question, sorry.
No, that's fine.
You're in there, man.
That's perfectly legit for what you said.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, unlimited money, unlimited time. Let's assume everyone is on board with me investigating. I'd love to go to Amityville, which has not been torn down. It's been remodeled, so it looks different. Remodeled. So people don't constantly stop by. It is actually currently lived in, which is very surprising. But I would love to investigate there, man. That place is evil. I mean, did you hear the story of what happened to the guy who wrote the original transcript for the Amityville Horror? He put it in his trunk and his car caught on fire, and then he gave it to someone else and they were driving and crashed.
Really?
Nope, never heard that.
Yeah.
I'm on board with Amityville too. Rob, maybe not so much, but I am. I like him.
See, like, you notice in this interview, Marty's doing most of the talking. He's more the paranormal guy. I'm the cryptid guy and conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
Because, in all honesty, I believe there is something after life. There is something after life I can give guarantee. I have proof of that. But I have such a hard time believing in ghosts. I really do.
I don't. I'm all on board for ghosts, man.
I'm not bashing you or anything. No, I'm just saying I need more proof. I don't know how to say it.
Oh, no, that's totally fine, man. I mean, I literally, in a lot of instances, for example, even on that Skinwalker investigation, one of the guys, so that blonde guy that was with me, that's the other William. He is an official team member. The guy with brown hair, the shorter one, his name is Jackson. He's actually not even on the team. He is just a mutual friend of mine who I like to bring skeptics on my investigations who don't believe in any of this stuff just for fun, just to be like, hey, you know, I'm over here in ghost land, so let's see what someone else would say about it, right?
Right.
So we went on that investigation with Jackson, who, you know, didn't believe in anything like that. And, you know, we left and he was freaked out by it. He really was.
Ah, that's always fun to see.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with skeptics. Some people act like it's some war, like ghost hunters versus skeptics. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of my goal looking into ghosts is to try to get someone else to see what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you come along to this. You need skeptics there, too, to sometimes pull you back. Because sometimes it is easy when you're right in the middle of stuff. You're like, oh, man, I'm getting pulled into this. Yeah, it's got to be this. And it's nice to have somebody that's, I don't want to say level-headed, but skeptic on it. It's like, dude, maybe it could be this to kind of reel you back in sometimes.
Rationalize.
Because it is easy like to kind of get into that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's fun to have a skeptic along. You need one along, I think, with stuff. Just to keep things kind of leveled out with everything.
Yep.
You don't turn into Ghost Adventures where every single episode it's like, oh man, we heard this clunk. It must be the captain of the... There's no proof that was a captain of anything. You just heard a noise, guys. And sometimes they just go right down the deepest end. It's like, that's not always how that works.
Sorry about the noise there. I just dropped the ball.
No, you're good.
All right.
But yeah, no, that's awesome, dude. That's amazing. Yeah, no, I'm totally on board with you for checking Amityville out, man. I would go up there for that too. Just straight up. It's to me, it's one of the kings of the unknown haunted houses in this country.
But yeah, for sure.
So I also have to ask. Go ahead. I'm just
asking. I was just gonna say that I'm still kind of 50% skeptic. I mean, like I said, the reason I started the group was to see for myself whether or not ghosts are real. That's kind of why I got into it. And I'm still, I would say I believe in them, but I'm still, you know, on the fence. You know, I would like to have something thrown at me.
No, absolutely.
Are you insane? Why would you want something thrown at you?
Because then all the doubt in my mind that ghosts aren't real would be gone if I get like a plate thrown at me by nothing.
No, that's just some angry, that's some deceased housewife that's mad at her husband that you look like.
Oh, geez.
That's not a good thing. That's like some 1950s housewife mad at her husband.
How come
he came home drunk? She throws a...
I've made him another drink for the last time. Here's a plate to the head. Cake. Rip it.
Hang on a second, Will.
Yeah, I'm all good. All
right. So I've had these whole list of questions from this listener, and you've answered most of them because you're more of a... spiritual ghost hunter type guy, but there's also some cryptid ones on here. If you could hunt any cryptid, what hunt cryptid would you hunt? Try to locate it. Hunt's not the right word, but
yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I'm not like a huge cryptid guy. I wouldn't say I don't believe in a majority of them, but I am just sorry, man. I'm stuttering over my words. I'm just uneducated about the topic. But if I were to try and document evidence or locate any one specific cryptid, I mean, I think this is probably the most basic answer, but it's the most basic answer for a reason. Bigfoot. I mean, come on, y'all. It's the age old cryptid. I'm sure there's some evidence of him out there, but I want to be like, all right, y'all, I got him in this cage. And I'm right. Put him in a museum.
Right. He's hanging coming. Out here with me. We found him. We lured yeah. him in. We killed the bunny man as a sacrifice and he showed up. It is. I mean, like I said, it's a basic answer, but it's
the most truthful one.
It is the big one. I mean, that is 99% of people who say it are going to say, yeah, give me proof of Bigfoot. If for no other reason than, hey, we proved Bigfoot's real. Now we can prove maybe some of these others are real, too.
He's going out there to camp to try this skin marker thing again. Maybe just go to Monongahela National Forest, just camp out there.
Mm.
Go camp out there.
Is that like a Bigfoot location? Like people say that he stays there?
To be honest, I'm a big Bigfoot. I'm a big Bigfoot guy, cryptid guy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, mm-hmm. we live in South Dakota. We live on the plains. I mean, flat land for miles and miles and miles. And there's reports of Bigfoot out here. So I'm pretty sure if you go there, how do you say that? Monongahela National Forest? It's in Virginia.
I don't even know what you're referring to. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was somewhere.
No, it's actually in Virginia.
I've never been there. That's why I said, is that like a notorious Bigfoot place? I don't know.
No, it's in your old state. It's a national forest. Toward the northern.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think there's some places here in my state that I probably can't pronounce, man.
That's half the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of
them. And you want to know what's something trippy, too? We have a Waverly here. We live 10 miles from Waverly.
Yep. Anytime I hear Waverly, I'm like, oh, which Waverly? The steakhouse or the crazy house, man? I don't know.
So have you got any other stories you'd like to share with us? This is an awesome interview so far. Everything that's legit.
No, it's great.
Yeah, sure. Let me think. I can share a couple more experiences.
That'd be awesome.
Let me think. Sorry.
That's why
I'm like a good question answerer. let me see. I'm gonna go back in the old noggin.
Yeah, and you throw me on the spot too. So
yeah, before you get to that,
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead. It's all good.
Well, I was gonna say, while you think of the story you want, the incident you want to report to us, how did you find these people to go out and do this with your group? How did that come into being?
Yeah, so all of them I met just because of mutual connection or direct connection. So the other investigator, William, is one of my childhood best friends. I met him literally in like fifth grade. And so when I founded the group, you know, he was interested in joining off the bat. And that's essentially the same story with Tate, our cameraman, as well. Now, Lorraine is a little bit different. I was calling around a bunch of local, like, psychic-type reading businesses in Virginia, and I call one called Spiritual Insights Psychic Readings, and I call, and Lorraine answers, and I say, hey, I'm William representing WTCW Paranormal. We're looking for a psychic consultant for the team. If anyone working is interested. And to which she said, I'm interested. And she was the one owning the business. So I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And we went in our first investigation to a house call, which was this huge, huge farmhouse. And that was crazy. But that's a different story. But so, you know, that's how I met Lorraine. As for Emma, who was our newest investigator, I took a seasonal job. I'm a scare actor.
Dude. So,
what is that? Explain that to me. Yeah. What is a scare
so,
actor?
So, you know, now I'm going to say haunted house, but I don't mean ghost haunted house. So right. Have you ever been to a haunted house where they have those guys that jump out and yell at you or like, you know, spark things near you or just like,
yeah.
I'm one of the scary guys that jump out and yell at you and are you know, doing the scary stuff.
That's awesome.
See, I did that for a couple of years at a haunted house, but they said, hey, you're just the weirdo in the full costume. They didn't give me a title.
Yeah, you don't actually work here, man. You need to leave. Quit scaring everybody. That's freaking awesome, dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I met Emma. I was a scare actor, and I met Emma. She was one of my coworkers, and eventually word got out to the entire staff team that I'm a paranormal investigator, tends to happen a lot. I'm still in high school. I'm 17, and eventually word just got out about WTCW. So now people walk up to me like, you're the ghost guy, right? You're the ghost guy? I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
that lets me do another question.
That's me.
Have you found any negative aspects from it affecting your life, any? Or is it just, I'm assuming there is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you may hit this negative, as long as you can get through it, you're going to be a better person in the whole run, and you'd probably be a hell of a paranormal investigator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It fuels me for sure. So here's a couple problems I've encountered. One, ghost hunting is more widely accepted than it used to be,
right?
But it's still not, you know, accepted by the majority of people.
Yes.
So when people find out that you're a paranormal investigator, they just think you're an insane person.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously I'm not an insane person, but they don't care about that. So no, I've applied to jobs and they'll look at my digital footprint and see that I also own a business because it's under my full name. It's LLC. Yep. And they're like, oh my God. And they just won't get back to me and I'll immediately know why.
You're one of these guys.
Which I'm sure you could probably infer why I was able to get the scare acting job specifically because I'm sure they didn't mind that much.
Right.
Yeah. But it's affected that as well as just, you know, people from all over the place, you know, just recognizing me at school or, you know, with my coworkers, you know, with the scare acting thing. When word got out that I was a ghost hunter, it got out. It was
right. Yeah.
I had like 40 or 50 coworkers and like each of them individually were like harassing me about it.
Oh, my God. Well, it's like any workplace like that. Things like that spread so freaking fast. It's unreal.
Yeah.
There would be times I get a part-time job. There would be stuff happen when I wasn't even there, and I've already known about it, and I hadn't been there to work for 2 days, you know, and I've already heard about it, and I haven't even been there. Yeah, that's how fast that spreads. Yeah, the job thing, that really sucks, though. You know what I mean? Because it's just like... You can't judge me on that. Yeah. You do get people sometimes that do the stupid thing. Oh, so you're chasing stuff through houses and that's not how this works. But and at that point, you just kind of humor them. You know, arguing with them isn't going to get you anywhere. Yeah. So you're just like, yeah, that's me. That's what I do.
Yeah,
don't bother investigating it at all or looking into it. But
yeah it's But it's a big motivator, you know. It's a con because it's annoying, right? But it's a big motivator to be like, well, you know what? Now I'm gonna have to get famous, so now you'll see me in my stupid ghost hunting business everywhere. Yes,
man.
And like we said at the beginning of this podcast, remember these little guys like me and Marty.
Right. I'm gonna throw these two fat guys I talked to a couple years ago on. Here you go, guys. No, man, that's freaking awesome. It is. It really is. And I'm just honestly impressed with your age and how much of a base for this business model, really realistically what you've built at your age, putting it in an LLC, all this, it is really impressive. And it does honestly give me a lot of hope that you are going to go much bigger places than where you're at right now, with a little more time and experience in that. I think the sky's the limit, man, for what you want to do. It's very impressive. I did not have that kind of motivation as a 17-year-old. Let's be real. It's like, oh, man, let me go see what comics I need to get this week. I'd like to do something important, but that seems like a lot of work. I'm just going to go play this game again. But no, man, it is impressive as hell. It really is. It's unreal at that age. Just how together you have all of your stuff. And it is really, really impressive to me. I love it. I really do.
I appreciate that so much, man. Yeah, I think it's given me a lot of experience. I mean, just over the past 2 years, I feel like I've lived an additional 10 years of my life. But, you know, commenting on the don't forget about the little guys. Who's to say if I become a big guy, you guys won't also too, you know?
Right. That would be awesome. But
someday, Marty. Someday.
Someday.
We just have to get on this thing called YouTube.
Yeah, well, I'm still.
That's our spring project is to get on YouTube.
It is, man. But
so back to your story. What tell us a good story, an incident. Just a story.
So this is going to be less of a paranormal story and more of a funny story that was almost unbelievable, right? So what happened was I was doing open auditions to join WTCW Paranormal. I was in need of more investigators a couple months ago. So I turned to the first place I could find. I posted an ad on Craigslist.
Right? Oh, boy.
Say, you know, if you're interested in joining Paranormal Team, message me at this email and I'll do a short interview with you and get back to you. And that's what I did. And I received a lot of responses, I think nearly 30 from people in the Hampton Roads area, which is seven cities. And one of them in particular was very elusive. So I'll explain. So it was from a guy emailing me under the name Steven Stinger. And yes, I will name drop him because he is public information, which you'll find out later. So I get an email from Steven, and he's saying, hey, text me at this number. I would love to join the team. I have a lot of experience with ghost hunting. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I text him, and I had a couple, like, precautionary actions to make sure I don't let, you know, someone who would be a very bad thing for our image onto the team.
Right.
So, you know, the first three questions I ask him for the interview is full name and age, do you have a criminal record? You know, not just to like invade their privacy, but to see if, you know, they would be a good public figure.
Right. You kind of got to vet them, you know, I mean, that's just what you have to do.
Yeah. And then also, you know, what experiences have you had with the paranormal? So he tells me his full name is Stephen Francis Stinger. And he used to be in a paranormal team and he's a psychic and he used to be in a satanic cult and this, that, and the next. And he knows how to manage tech and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, this is a little weird, but he seems like a reasonable guy. Right. So I go on Google, you know, my little background check, Stephen Francis Stinger is what I look up. First result, escaped Wyoming State Prison inmate Stephen Francis Stinger arrested in Deep Creek area of Chesapeake, Virginia.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. I was like, oh my God.
Oh no.
So I click and he literally escaped prison and was caught in April of 2022. Oh. Like right by, you know, in a city in Hampton Roads. I was like, oh my God, how is he not in jail right now?
Right.
So then I get back in my try, and mind you, when I asked him, what is your criminal, like, do you have a criminal history? He told me no.
Right, yeah.
He says no. So I was like, do I have the wrong Stephen Francis Stinger?
I mean, it seems like a pretty specific name.
And I was like, Stephen, do you have a, you know, I thought maybe it could have been his dad or, you know, maybe he was a junior or a third.
Right.
So I'm like, are any of your family members, do they share your name? And he's like, nope, I'm the only one.
Oh, no.
So then I scroll a little bit and I find another article being like Stephen Francis Stinger arrested on accounts of, you know, assault with a deadly weapon with an unregistered firearm and this, that from literally earlier in 2023.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. I was like, there's no way. I called my dad immediately because I knew he would find this hilarious. I call him. I was like, Dad, an escaped Arkham Asylum inmate just tried to join my paranormal team.
Oh my God. It's like, no, man, I'm the only Stephen F. Stinger out here, man. It's just me. Yeah, that's not what I wanted to hear, Steve.
I was like, I can't believe this. I was like, are you serious?
Oh my God. I want to join this group.
That is
that's insane.
It's a great conversation starter story for me. I was like, you know, I own a paranormal group and a wanted criminal tried to join.
You should have led with that.
Yes, right. Oh my God, dude. That is just freaking hilarious. See how discerning we are? We're like, no, we don't want the psycho. Oh my God, that's awesome. Oh, just and just with such authority and joy, he's like, hell yeah, Steven Stinger is me, man. I'm the only one. Just so funny. Like, he's unaware that Google exists.
I was hoping he would be like a junior or like something. And then he literally specified, he's like, no, I don't have a criminal background. I'm the only Stephen Francis Stinger. I was like, okay, you're literally lying to me.
Hey, God, there's no way they can look that up. Well, let me tell you about the internet, Steve. You know, like, oh my God, you were literally in the news just, like 3 months ago. Oh my God.
Maybe he was just hoping I couldn't like figure it out.
Right. He'll never catch on. God. Oh my God, that is too funny.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And the worst part is he's at home like, man, I'm thinking I'm getting the call here, man. I'm going to have a job. No, you're not, Steven. You're not.
I felt like partially bad because I like blocked him immediately after
I mean, I was like, you have to.
But I was like, damn, man, that was crazy.
That is actually really wild. Oh my God, that's funny. The audacity of some people is just mind-boggling.
It's all public info too. You can look up Stephen Francis Stinger. Right. show up like it.
Great. Now we're in trouble. This guy's gonna find our podcast and say, "I'm what he's the guy he's talking about." Great.
Hey, do you guys need a helper? Y'all... I'm good with tech and Stinger, we don't.
Y'all are safe. He got arrested only a couple cities away from me. Y'all are like across the U.S. Y'all find my ass first.
That's too funny. Oh my God.
Better change your name, Will.
That's right. Oh, that's too funny, man. That is the best. Jesus.
He sued me for defamation. Right. I'm like, bro, it's true, though.
Right. Yeah, he'll be like the crazy Florida guy trying to sue Rockstar for using his likeness in GTA 6. It's like, come on, man. Come on. You really think you got a shot with us? Go back to your hole, dude. Do your meth. Whatever it is you're doing.
So, Will.
But, man.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you run into a lot of like crazy stuff like that when you start a business like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can about imagine.
Yeah. Wild.
So why don't you give us all the places our listeners can contact you if they have questions or maybe possible investigations?
Yeah. So if you live in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, which encompasses 7 cities in the east coast of Virginia, you can contact us via our Google business profile if you look up WTCW Paranormal. And we're just one call away, and we're equipped and ready for almost any situation. You can find us on Instagram at WTCW Paranormal, TikTok with the same @, YouTube with the same @. I appreciate you guys tuning in.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I really do appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for hosting me.
Oh, yeah. Just hang on a second, Will, and we'll be right back to you, okay? So have you got anything else for these nice people?
No, man, I do not. Like I said, a lot of respect for what this guy is putting together and building.
Yep.
It's impressive, actually, how many places they've gone into already.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, he's way more put together than I was at 27, even, at 17.
I'm 52 and the guy's more put together.
Right. You know, it's like it's impressive as hell. Their videos are great.
I'm going to kill this mic. It's like
it's making funky noises on you tonight.
I know.
But, yeah, no, absolutely fantastic. Go check out their videos.
Yep. He's on YouTube.
Yep.
That's where
go running go, the smaller go. Stuff on TikTok.
All our listeners need to go flood his YouTube channel.
Heck yeah, man. It's absolutely fantastic. Much respect for him.
Anything else, Marty?
That is it, man. That is all I got.
All right, folks. Have a good night. Bye.